שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו כאן בחיים חדשים.
Hello, thank you for being with us here on New Life, the discussion, educational discussions with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mendelbaum Ben-Moshe. Hello. We want to talk today about the Jewish potential, where Israelites, Jews, we're living here without even realizing we have a very big potential that's in us and is waiting for us to be realizing it, implementing it. We talked about this with Rav Lightman. It was very fascinating. We want to continue and talk about this today too. Tal, why don't you open? So yes, really, we know there are all kinds of theories and myths why Jews are so successful and are such a small percentage, but a very standing out percentage in everything that has to do with science and artistry in the world and so forth. And one of the theories is that there's a certain genetical matter, that there's something in our makeup that because of that, we have a tendency to succeed, higher intelligence. So it's a discussion, by the way. It's not everyone that agrees to that. There are those that say that's a certain racism saying that. But what is your opinion? Is that right? Is there a certain special gene in us? And Dr. Lightman, I'm laughing about that a little bit from this approach, but it's natural to humanity. It's like Jews have a long, big nose. And I want to be wise. Let's say I'm from one of the nations of the world. Let's say I'm Chinese or something. With them, it's a small nose. So I will do plastic surgery. They're going to make me a bigger nose, and then I become smarter or not. There used to be such a thing in Afghanistan where they used to do plastic surgery for making longer noses. Rav says, okay, and what? It's certain, right? The same thing with genetics. Genes are all in all a demonstration, an external expression of the inner forces. And we cannot reach the inner forces and do an operation or some change in them. What are the inner forces? It's not something that we don't know from science. These inner forces we don't know. They can exist in a certain type of people that feel an attraction towards godliness. Godliness is called the upper force of nature, which is a force of love and bestowal, the general force which contains within it all of nature and governs it. And those people that have an inclination, a demand, a desire for this, a longing and a necessity, they don't feel comfortable if they don't achieve this. They need to know why we're living, what's the point in our life, and why. Those people are constructed in such a manner, from within them, for the attainment of this upper force. They can be from all of the nations, from all over the nations, just as we talked last time. Abraham basically filtered out, skimmed out of all of Babylon into two groups, a very small group, relatively from all of the population, which is the group which joined him, according to his call, which was, who to the Lord comes to become, cometh to me, which is, let's discover the secret of life, the essence of life, love thy friend as thyself, and such things. We don't have precisely those sentences that he called with, but Rambam says that he wrote books and truly had an ability. He was the greatest of his generation, the greatest of the educators of his generation. And therefore, those people that had that ability, he gathered. And the other half of Babylon, well, not it wasn't the half, it was 99.9% of them, remained like that because they didn't feel any drive or inclination to join that kind of development like Abraham was inviting them towards. Yes. So Abraham, when he started to grow his group there, he gave them, the main thing he did in them was he developed in them a sense of recognition of that upper force, or that concealed force, where it's basically the upper, not our ego, which is managing everything in our life according to our inner egotistical force, the reception. We feel only the force of reception that's operating in nature, in every single thing, in inanimate, how they things get closer, for the smallest particle get closer, or from subatoms to the big stars, how they get closer or far away from each other, and in vegetation and in animal, meaning in everything that's in nature, we discover, because we are egotistical, we discover them only in that point of view which is egotistical, and therefore only that force of the egotistical force operates in nature. But Abraham taught them how to be equipped with the second force, the opposite force of the ego, the altruistic force. And when he taught them this in such a way, they began to reveal the second reality, the concealed reality. Therefore, the whole wisdom of Abraham is called the concealed or hidden wisdom, that everything that was concealed before them is now revealed. And the general force, the force of bestowal and love, which is called the Creator, the upper force of nature, which includes within it everything. That's what they discovered. And when they discovered this, they also discovered all the different forms of nature, of existence in nature. How that they operate and manage every different thing, still vegetative and animate in our life and nature and everything. And when they discovered this, within them, they became filled with all the complete nature, the complete science, with the complete wisdom. And from that, in such an awareness, in such an understanding, they lived for many years. According to that, they invented the laws of behavior between them, and education for children and women and families, how to relate, the judicial system, all different things. Pretty weird laws as they appear to us. Shabbat, the years off of thing, how we should relate to animals and to nature and to agriculture and so forth. The calendar, and many more such things, that to many of these things we don't find any justification. And in such a way we see how this nation lived. It was very different from the other nations. Until they began to lose the force of love and bestowal and connection between them, and as their ego was growing more and more, there was a reason for it. We'll talk about that. And they lost the force of bestowal between them. They stopped in doing so to see the force of bestowal that operates in nature. This is called that the Creator is once again concealed in them. And that state which they fell from is called that they fell from a state of redemption, the revelation of the Creator, to a state of exile, the concealment of the Creator. And in doing so, they also attracted upon themselves all kinds of problems and troubles, and intermixed with the Babylonians. It helped them to mix and be with all the Babylonians, and they covered basically all the face of the earth. And this intermingling existed for almost 2,000 years until our days. It exists still today, but today we are already in a different trend. meaning we are no longer in the previous state, but we are in a state in which the forces of nature, that upper force of love and bestowal, already begins to get involved in the force of reception, the egotistical force, and begins to push us in a directed manner to a state in which we need to go back to being like we were during the days of Abraham and all the generations that came after him before the descent. In this process in which the Jews fell from that perception that they had, something remained in them. You talked about some inner forces that because of them, they stood out in all the nations where they lived. And he said that it's not genetics, it's something else, it's some other charge that in them. No, also genes. I'm just saying that we can't, by going into our genes and maybe even trying to change them, that we will somehow change the person himself. No. Because the foundation of a person are the forces of his soul, and that's not something we can get to with those examinations, whether they're biological or our inner chemistry. How does that inner charge that they discovered back then, before they fell once again to a regular perception of reality, how does that influence the fact that today some scientist is revealing some invention, some the whole matter of startups and the success of Jews in the world? First of all, not just the Jews, but also the nations of the world. Because once again, what Abraham did in Babylon, and because the fact that he built this special group, which he called the Nation of Israel. First of all, it's not a nation like all the nations. It's clear to us. And the connection between them was only on the background of love and mutual bestowal. We shouldn't say that in all the nations of the world, there's not this wisdom doesn't exist. First of all, we are talking about an excelling that is in Jewish people in the recognition of godliness, where this cannot exist in the rest of the nations of the world. Of course, there is Abraham, as much as he assembled and gathered, it could be that also several of those also remained in Babylon that could have joined him. There were several others that were kind of like in the middle. They were this way and that way. All in all, there isn't like very clear separation where if the egotistical desire is like this and like that, so far in a clear manner, this belongs to the Abraham group, and from this measurement to there onwards, let's say it has to do with Nimrod's group. No, there's no such thing. Meaning these things, there's a certain kind of continuation here. It's a more scale. There's a certain tolerance on the scale in both directions. We can also see that in the nations of the world later, there were those, many of those in ancient times that joined the people of Israel, and they were great. The greatest of the Kabbalists were also, and also great scientists that studied, although they just studied the foundations of science, like Aristo and Plato, and they write about this, but nevertheless, with that, they developed each in his own science. And therefore, we have a simple sentence that if there's a wisdom in the nations, believe. Meaning, if we're talking about this world, they can develop the wisdoms and renovations and inventions. It's possible. But only we excel in the fact that we attain the upper force. And the attainment of the upper force needs to give us, this attainment needs to give us a special excellence. So that we will know how, where to develop to, in order to go not against the general flow of the world of nature, but with it, where we need this so badly during these days, during this period, as humanity has completely lost its way, the direction, and the goal, and its purpose. Meaning, in a simple, egotistical way, like we developed throughout thousands of years, we cannot continue that way. We already see that it's like the reins are no longer in our hands. We talked about it, the fact that what we learned from Abraham is to use the two forces through which we can see reality. So you said that we can really awaken them or use them also today. So is there a connection really between this ability and success in life and all kinds of different aspects of life? Rav Lightman, yeah, I would say yes, but I wouldn't want to use that for technological development or something like that. This ability, meaning the recognition of godliness, as we call it, the fact that we can reveal Him, can help us with all the relationships between us. It's children education, family life, social life, relationships between the nations, meaning everything that has to do with humanity. Okay, because really what we see so far is that Jews are very successful in technology, science, economy, finances, all kinds of really considered high things in this world. Rav Leighton says, yes, but these are already things that are in a descent, in that inclination. Today we're already seeing that all of this development doesn't give us any ability to live better, to live safer, calmer, to even achieve a good life, pleasures, fillings in this world. We're not capable. First of all, we need to educate a human being to want to build the right life in this world. Otherwise, we see that all this excelling, this good excelling that we see in people, eventually becomes some sophisticated weaponry. That's one of the claims, actually, is that what are you going and saying that the Jews are special? All in all, sometimes it's even discovered as the opposite, where you see in Israel less polite people, crisis in education and the social society and so forth. Rav says, yes, of course, in Israel we can see this our days, that not one government can survive with such a nation. And a nation is not a nation, it's a gathering of nations. We can see that our state is much worse than all the rest of the nations. So we have such talent and such an ability and such intelligence, and there's such a gap between this and that. Rav says, no, the whole, this IQ and this whole intelligence and potential doesn't say anything, because everything begins with the inner force. The inner force in us is the force of bestowal. It's in us. It's in that question, what's the meaning of my life, where I have the forces to attain the upper force and I'm not using them. And seemingly I'm spinning them for the attainment of all kinds of pleasures of this world, with such successes that are within the egoistic desires. And this, it never was so bad. We will see ourselves and our state and our society that is only on the way down. I didn't understand why. Because we're not using correctly the forces that are in us. Meaning, potentially, we have immense forces and we're not using them. We're using, but maybe in an opposite way even. Why? No, what do you mean by in an opposite way? Rav says, if we weren't to be excelling in these special forces from nature, in the attainment of godliness, to the attainment of the force of bestowal, to building the right society, as one man and one heart and so forth, if we couldn't do that, then nevertheless, we would be like all the nations of the world. But in us, it doesn't go that way. When we want to be similar to them in this capitalistic manner, then it works out the opposite way for us. You will see that a very small part will be rich, it'll control the rest of the nation, until the poor people will be down to zero. And this is opposite any ideals of our nation, according to the Jewish ideals. It's very hard to talk to people about the fact that once we were a powerhouse of manners and morals and stuff like that. It doesn't exist in us. Rav says, that's right. That's why we need to have a series of lectures, discussions, lessons, TV programs, radios, books, booklets. We need to go to the nation and to give it out and to talk about this. But without that, there's no doubt we are just in a constant cascading downwards. We're looking at the world and how it's developing lately also. Everyone's in a crisis, but with us, it will be terrible. I don't grasp this exactly. So far, we learned in this discussion from you that in Jews, there's a potential that doesn't exist in any other person. It's unique. Yes. Meaning that from this potential, they will come in a proven manner with all kinds of achievements way beyond their quantity in relative quantity. We came here 60 years ago. We put up a state. You're saying this state's not going to succeed. And even to the contrary, it'll be in a constant retreat and descent. So the people, on one hand, the people with the greatest potential throughout thousands of years, they get into their hands a state in which they can establish however they want, and it's not going, it's not the most blossoming and the best state upon earth. How does that potential and the implementation go in opposite directions? Rav says, they're not using their potential. The potential is working correctly only under the condition that we begin to develop it. You have a potential, you have a nucleus or a seed that you need to put in the ground. So you have a seed that needs to blossom. The earth is dark, filled with it's a good dark earth. It's got a very rich earth. You have a seed that you need to put specifically in sand. I know. I grew up in farming, so I know this from the ground. Yeah. So what happens here? In us, we have a seed that, in order to develop, you need to influence it with a specific light, a specific force which is outside of you. And this is called the force of bestowal and love. So you will be able to develop in you that seed. So that seed is called the root of your soul. And then it will open up and you will receive your soul. Before that, you only have its foundation, its seed. How does that influence a country, a state? So, if we were to invite the reforming light, what is that? It's a force of bestowal, the Creator, for it to illuminate us. It is according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we can do actions, which these actions invite upon us the influence of the upper force. And then we would develop out of force of love and bestowal, and you would build the society according to that, as one man, in one heart, in an embrace, in mutual guarantee, in equality. But we don't develop this seed. We want to use what we have only for the sake of the ego. But it doesn't contradict either the fact that we need to also be, to continue to be developed, and with technology and science and all those things. Well, it's not that it contradicts, but it is completely not, it has nothing to do with the good future, all your technology. What does have to do with the good future? Only human development. Can you define that? The connection between us to come to a state, to those conditions in which we become a nation. We are not a nation. Abraham, when he gathered all the people, he gathered them from the force of mutual love between them, with the force of grace and mercy between them. And then they joined each other and became one people. If a connection between another one person and others is natural, you see how they get along with each other normally. Nothing bothers them. we're not capable to get along with each other. That stands out as much, as more than anything in Israel here. We either hate each other or we advance towards connection and love between us. I want to leap forward. Let's say we would take that potential seed of the Jewish potential and supply it with that earth, or in parentheses, that the conditions that will allow it to optimally develop. Let's say, what would we get Nobel Prizes for here? What would we get? What would we excel with that we're not today, if we would implement the potential in such a way that you're talking about? What would we excel in? We would get a Nobel Prize for what? The greatest of them, all the prizes together. Why? Because we would bring to the world the method of correction, the method of advancement to the best possible life that could be. Let's say one guy discovered some medicine, another guy discovered something else there, and they gave prizes for that. I am bringing to the world happiness. Happiness, abundance, a life without limits, a life without any sorrow, an end to all the wars, to all the problems and troubles, to all the diseases and stresses. This is what we need to bring to the world. They're not something that she wrote down there in her Nobel Prizes. No one's going to say thank you and we appreciate it or anything like that for all this. Yeah, on the contrary, we see that they're completely don't like us for that at all. What would you say for that sentence? How would you define the formula which will bring us all these good results? To attain all the good, the happiness, the abundance and all, without problems or troubles or wars or diseases? It's to reveal to them, not medicine or particles or anything like that, the upper force. The upper force, the whole general force of nature which manages everything. The most moment we reveal it in humanity, already all of humanity below know how to behave amongst us. It obliges us for a good life. This is what Abraham basically did. He did it with that group that he gathered. Our time is over. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you very much, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best, a good life.